Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad you are hanging in there. We're talking about an exciting subject today, dividing Jerusalem. Who owns the land? You realize, ladies and gentlemen, and let me just simply say this as a little parenthetical footnote to this discussion today. Yes, one day there will be a peace treaty signed, and Israel will become a nation of unwalled villages. And that peace treaty will be signed for a seven-year period of time. At the halfway point of the peace treaty, it will be broken. And there will be an attempt to annihilate, eviscerate the nation of Israel and all Jewish people. That will happen, ladies and gentlemen, after the rapture of the church has taken place. And during the early parts of the days of the tribulation, when the Antichrist is on the scene. And the Antichrist will be one that will come in and be so persuasive that he will be able to bring all parties together and will develop a peace plan that will ultimately be accepted by the Jewish people and all of the enemies of the nation of Israel. You can study that in the book of Daniel and realize that that is going to take place. But that is, I call this, and I've just made the statement just a moment ago, that I believe this is the foreshadowing of that which is to come. Every president is simply trying to do what he's been led to believe that is a possibility. It just is, takes the gymnastics of who gets this little postage stamp, who gets this part of the land, and how do we connect the pieces. And now the connecting of the pieces is supposed to be by an underground tunnel. But ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this. It is not my belief at all that this is going to be successful. I'm not concerned about, worried about, nor agitated over the potentiality of it becoming a reality. It is being postulated, I believe, based on the authority of what the president has been told, with the potentiality of, in his mind, of it being workable. But the pieces of the puzzle are not going to fit, ladies and gentlemen, of bringing all of the parties to the table for a peace treaty until the man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene. And at that time, there will be so much happening that Israel will plead with, beg with somebody to wave the magic wand and work out a peace treaty, a peace plan that ultimately will be the attempt to eviscerate, annihilate, destroy the nation of Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, as I said just before our news break, just before the President Obama went out of office, President Obama quietly, secretly, without any recognition, without any news or fanfare, gave $221 million. Here's the article. Obama quietly sent $221 million to the Palestinian Authority just hours before leaving office. Further in the article, it says more than $227 million in foreign affairs funding was released at the same time, including $4 million for climate change programs and $1.25 million to the UN organizations. The official and the aides weren't authorized to speak publicly on the matter and demanded anonymity. But that's what Obama did. And, of course, keep in mind, he was a shrouded Islamic. He made reference to his Islamic religion on one occasion and had to go back and retract it. But, ladies and gentlemen, he supplied that to the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority, by the way, for every one of the Palestinians, as they call themselves, that will commit an act of jihad in killing a Israeli or a Jewish person, they are rewarded out of the Palestinian Authority treasures, funds. They're paid, their families then are paid once their jihadist is martyred by killing a Jewish person. Ladies and gentlemen, out of the treasure of the so-called Palestinian Authority, they pay a life's income for the wife or the family members of the children of that one that was slain in a martyrdom act of jihad. That's how wicked and evil the so-called Palestinians are. We're going to get to the point before this broadcast is over and talk about who are the Palestinians, where do they come from, are they really, do they really have a claim to the land, do they really have a, if you please, a deed of interest going back in any distance at all, are they made up, are they factual or fictitious from that standpoint. Here's the article, ladies and gentlemen, also that says, Palestinian Prime Minister applauds U.S. House resolution. That's after the House resolution was passed by the Socialist Marxist Democrats last December. Said they applaud the U.S. House resolution supporting a two-state solution. Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas on Monday applauded the recent U.S. House representative resolutions calling the endorsement of the two-state solution. the current administration of the U.S. undermining the widely undetermined, the widely accepted basis of peace negotiations between Palestine and Israel. Said that in the opening of the weekly Palestinian cabinet meeting, he said the U.S. has adopted measures undermining the two-state solution, referring to the recent statement by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, in which he said that no longer view Israeli settlements in the West Bank as inconsistent with international law. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Palestinian Authority really wants all of the housing that's been developed in the past 15 to 20 years by the Jewish people, want all of them to be torn down. Totally removed, totally demolished, because Mike Pompeo has said that it falls within the realm of international law and there's nothing wrong with the Jewish people doing that. Further in the article, Palestinian Prime Minister said the resolution passed by the U.S. House of Representatives on Friday is in harmony with the international law that prohibits settlements and the occupation of territory by force. In fact, the Palestinians called the Jewish people illegal occupiers of their territory. Further, the article says the resolution expressed support for the two-state resolution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and warned Israel against any attempts toward annexation of territory in the West Bank. And now, taking this and what they've already rejected, President Trump and his advisors have adapted and modified and basically changed the plan so that gives the Palestinians part control of the West Bank by way of connecting it with a tunnel to the Gaza Strip, as it's called in the biblical text, Gaza. The resolution expressed support for that two-state Palestinian authorization. Israeli settlements activity is deemed illegal by most world powers and by international law. It is considered one of the major issues that caused the collapse of the peace talks between Palestinians and Israelis in 2014. It's the fact that the Palestinians are also wanting control not only of Gaza, but they want control of the West Bank. They already wanted to have control, or say so, through Iran over the northern portion up in the Golan Heights. That's been resolved and settled when President Trump said that was under the authority and control of the Israelis, and it could not be otherwise. The Palestinians, the Islamic jihadists, have control of Gaza. Now they, through President Donald J. Trump, they're talking about appeasement is all it's called. I'm calling it that, not the Trump administration. It's appeasement by saying we're going to give you portions of the West Bank also. Ladies and gentlemen, what that will do, if it ever sees the daylight of signatures on the paper of any treaty of any nature like that, it'll put the little sandwich postage stamp the size of a finger going up the map in Israel. It will give them total, that would cause them to be totally encircled by the enemy that could come in and quash them at any moment, any time, any moment's notice. And it is antithetical to anything that we'll call, but that we could call as conservative Christians, as looking at it from an eschatological standpoint, based on the truth of the Word of God. It will go against everything that the Word of God says in relationship to the Jewish people as being the apple of his eye, and as Israel being the Holy Land, and that it is God's land, as the Scripture says. This article goes further. It says political ties between the U.S. and Palestine have been severed after U.S. President Donald Trump announced that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel in December of 2017. Now, let's connect the dots. The Palestinian Authority said they had severed any relationship with the U.S., wouldn't have nothing to do with any peace plan, nothing to do with President Donald J. Trump, because he declared Israel as the capital, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel in December 2017. And so now we have the president trying to go back and ameliorate the circumstances and trying to negotiate. I believe it's out of good faith. I believe it's out of an honest heart of wanting to do what he thinks is the right thing to do, especially when Jared Kushner and others are whispering in his ear that this is the way to handle it. But I don't believe that you can give peace to Jerusalem by surrendering land. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, when you study the Scripture and you look at what the Scripture says in relationship who owns the land, you'll find a major, major contrast with what Israel has today. The Scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 and following, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And that relates back to Genesis 13 and Genesis 15, Genesis 17, Deuteronomy chapter 11, etc. We'll read some of those later in the broadcast. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Ladies and gentlemen, you find in the scripture, and that's just the beginning of some of the text, because you find it all over the book of Genesis, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, where God has promised them the land, he's given them the land, and he says it is forever that he's given the land to them, and it cannot be taken if God has given the land. Now, there might be an attempt from the man's standpoint, but it cannot be done. In fact, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Ladies and gentlemen, how long is forever? And God said it, I didn't. Genesis 15, verse 19 and following. Genesis 15, 19 and following says this. It is an interesting study, ladies and gentlemen. The scripture says the Kenites and the Kezanites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Pejorites and the Reapins and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Gigershites and the Jebusites, and he names all of those that are in the land, that they're to be slain, taken out of the land. The land belongs to the nation of Israel and not to any group called the Palestinians. It says in the 13th verse, and said unto Abram, know of surety, thy seed shall be the stranger of the land that thou shalt give, and shall serve them that shall afflict them over 400 years. And it goes further and talks about what he's going to do. He's going to give them the land. Ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and following, and I'll not read all of the text, says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee an exceeding fruitful, and I will make the nations of thee, and kings shall come to thee. And it goes on to talk about the fact in the 7th verse now, ladies and gentlemen, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed forever. Ladies and gentlemen, he further says, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He is talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that when God allowed them to come out of bondage and go into the promised land, they had been in bondage for 430 years, and go into the promised land. He gave them the land. He said, go into the land, and I want you to destroy the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Hevites and the Gergeshites, and as I put it, in all the other ites. The nation of Israel, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, went into the promised land, and for the most part, they obeyed God. But they determined that they would make covenants between them, that's the Jewish people, and some of the enemies of the Jewish people, the Canaanites and others. They made pacts with them. They made covenants with them. They intermarried into the families. And as a result of that, they've had this ongoing war, this battle that has taken place for 4,000 years. And it's as a result of the illegitimate son of Abraham that was the son of the handmaid of Abraham. It was the Hagar, and it was the illegitimate son, Ishmael, that is today the great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy of all of the Islamic people, the Islamic nation, and even of Mahmoud Abbas and his so-called Palestinians. But, ladies and gentlemen, the real question is, can Jerusalem be divided? Will God allow Jerusalem to be physically, philosophically, theoretically divided? Is that possible? And the answer to that question is unequivocally, absolutely no, it shall not be. And when that does take place, ladies and gentlemen, in the last of the last days, before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be that great final cataclysmic battle called the Battle of Armageddon. It will be fought in the land of Israel. It will be in the place where many, many other battles have been fought down through the years. And as a result of that, God is still going to vindicate and to protect the nation of Israel. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21, when it seems as though, and I'm paraphrasing, when it seems as though the nation of Israel be totally annihilated, eviscerated, destroyed, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to return and slay the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the nation of Israel, the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, with the sword of his mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, it shall not take place. But the question is, can Jerusalem ever be divided? Will God allow the capital of the Holy Land be divided? Who owns the land is the urgent and utmost question that must be asked and recognized. For most nations, ladies and gentlemen, around the world are calling for this two-state division. They're calling for the division of Jerusalem. It is the designed purpose by the nations around the globe to do so. In fact, the book of Zechariah in the 12th chapter gives us a little insight on that. The scripture says in the second verse of Zechariah 12, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day," it's talking about the day of the Lord, and this takes place, ladies and gentlemen, after the rapture of the church, not in our day, but after the rapture of the church. "In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Ladies and gentlemen, God is saying that there's coming a day when all the nations around the globe will be gathered, and that's the great day of the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 16 talks about that, and you find that truth taking place in this text, that in that day, when all the nations come against the nation of Israel and attempt to destroy the nation of Israel, God says, "I'm going to crush every nation that tried to come in and harm, hurt, and destroy the nation of Israel." Ladies and gentlemen, God's word warns every nation to be very, very careful how they will treat the apple of God's eye. That's the nation of Israel. Since May 15, 1948, when Ezekiel chapter 37 was fulfilled, when Israel once again became a nation, after 2,500 years of being scattered abroad around the globe, became a sovereign nation again. They have been in constant conflict, constant wars, constant battle for survival. God has protected Israel as no other nation on the face of the globe, and God shall continue to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, recently Mike Mohd Abbas, head of the Palestinian Authority, declared this. Listen carefully to Abbas's words and measure that in your mind based on the authority of Scripture and what the Scripture says. But here's what Abbas says. "We will remain in our homeland," speaking of Israel, "and the outsiders," that's the Jews, "on this land have no rights in this country," speaking of the Israeli people, the Jewish people. These so-called Palestinians have already said no to any proposal. They've already said no to any peace plan. They've already said no to anything that would be suggested as bringing them together as a peoples in harmony. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says Palestinian demonstrators in Ramallah sets fire to protest President Trump's Middle East peace plan without having heard any of the actual details of it. Subtitle: Palestinian staged protest Tuesday against the U.S. President Donald Trump and his Middle East peace plan hours before it was even unveiled in Washington. Quote, in typical Palestinian style, without ever actually hearing what the details of Trump's peace plan is, they have already decided to reject it and set stuff on fire. That's because they don't want a peace plan. They want to steal Jerusalem and use it to create a Palestinian state. 2,000 years before the first Muslim ever drew breath, Jerusalem has belonged to the Jewish people, given to them by Almighty God. No amount of tire burning, no amount of rock throwing, no amount of stabbing, no amount of car bombing, no amount of martyrs will ever change that very fact, end quote. And I just have a little footnote to that. Amen and amen. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get us to understand. We need not be worried, anxious, afraid. God is still on the throne. God's still in charge. God's still going to protect the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, which he calls the apple of his eye, the apple of God's eye. It is my land, God says in Ezekiel 39, verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. God calls it my land. It is his land. And that's in Ezekiel 38. And, of course, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is when five Islamic nations being led by Russia will come in against the nation of Israel. And, ladies and gentlemen, again, that in the context of that text, it's after the rapture of the church, after Christians have been taken out of this whole world. It will be in the last days of the days of the tribulation when there will be an attempt to destroy, eviscerate, annihilate the nation of Israel by the Islamic nations around the globe led by the nation of Russia. Ladies and gentlemen, The Palestinians do not want a peace plan. The Palestinians want to snuff out, crush out the nation of Israel and every Jewish person on the face of the globe if they had opportunity and could do so. Ladies and gentlemen, it is as a result of the Israeli people being in the land that the Islamics want to destroy them. And the Bible says that it belongs to the Jewish people and not to the Islamic people. In fact, in Genesis 15:18, God says, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed, the Jewish people, have I given thee land forever and never," notice, "from the river Euphrates unto the great river," the river Euphrates, "unto the great river of Egypt to the river Euphrates." Literally, God has promised the Jewish people that this is their land and not the lineage of Ishmael, the modern Arabs, and yet the modern Arabs claim to be the descendants of the Canaanites, and thus they say that they were in the land, that the Israelis came in, the Jewish people came in and took their land, so they're taking it back. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not the case. It is called Palestine. That is there's no such thing as an ethnic group of people called Palestinians. That does not exist. Yes, let me just read you some blurbs from a massive article that I've drawn some statements from. Title of the article, "Who Are the Palestinians?" Palestinian leaders claim that the Palestinians are descendants from the Canaanite people who lived in the land of Canaan before the Israeli tribes settled in it. Number two, what is the source of the name Palestine? It is not Arab. It is derived from the name Palestina by the Roman emperor to call the land after the defeat of the revolt in 135. His aim was to erase Judah and erase the term Judah. Number three, according to the Palestinian historian Mohammed Mushlin, during the entire 400-year period of the Ottoman rule, 1517 to 1918, before the British set up the 30-year-long Palestine mandate, there was no political unit known as Palestine. In Arabic, the area was known then, that is, between 1517 and 1918, it was known even by the Arabic people then as the Holy Land. And number four, not a single Palestinian tribe identifies its roots in Canaan. Instead, they all see themselves as proud Arab descendants from the most notable Arab tribes and some parts of the Arab nations, especially known as Iraq, Yemen, and other places today. The family of the Nablus group located in its origins in Syria. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, there's no such thing as a Palestinian people. It's a farce that's being perpetrated upon society, believed by political leadership around the globe, and believed even by this administration. This article further says the Palestinian Canaanites narrative is not new. It emerged after the fall of the Hashemian monarchy in Syria in 1920. Syrians' incorporation into the French mandate and King Faisal's flight to Iraq so that he could assume the throne there in 1921. Yasser Arafat claimed that the Palestinians are descendants of the Jebusites, not the Canaanites, whom he described as the Canaanite tribe. He's got his ites confused, I think. And such is the argument that's being perpetrated today. What is the source of the name Palestine? And it goes on to talk about it's not Arab. It's derived from the name Palestinian. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with an issue that I call a demonic issue. It is a demonic issue where there's an attempt to further thwart the plan of God in the use of his people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. In fact, here is a dire warning coming from Pat Robertson, warns against dividing Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. I will read you this, and then the footnote of it, I'll tell you when it was dated. Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from Pat Robertson. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is the spiritual capital of the world. This is what God calls the navel of the earth in the Old Testament. Why are all the nations so concerned about Israel? I will tell you why. Because it is God's outpost. It is what would be, in a sense, a black eye against him if his plans were frustrated by any human being. And he will not let the people frustrate his plan. When you look at the map and you see what is known as the West Bank territory, and this is what the Palestinians want, down along the Mediterranean Sea is what is known as Gaza. It is virtually impossible to link these two ports through Israel, these two parts through Israel. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, in the Trump plan, it says they're going to put in a tunnel to link Gaza and the West Bank. footnote on that thought. Let's read further. So just in that, you have a problem talking about linking the two. But if we see the tiny nation of Israel in relation to the vast amount of Israel that there is, Israel is maybe 3/10 of the 1% of the land mass of the entire Middle East. Now, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, further in this article. The Jews took eastern Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecy by Jesus Christ. It was made 2,500 years ago. He said, Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot until the Gentile time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Yasser Arafat told me personally that he was looking for an accommodation from Israel on Jerusalem. Benjamin Netanyahu, then the prime minister of Israel, said the status of Jerusalem is non-negotiable. The quartet says, we're going to negotiate it and split it up, and depending on the interest of the parties. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from Pat Robertson, this is suicide. If the United States, and I want you to hear me very clearly, if the United States takes a role in ripping half Jerusalem away from Israel, he goes further in saying, and giving it to Yasser Arafat and a group of terrorists, we're going to see the wrath of God fall on this nation that will make tornadoes look like Sunday school picnics. We have not begun to see how bad it could be if we let this take place. He was speaking at the time George Bush was attempting to negotiate with the Palestinians and divide Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, that's been an attempt for every president the past 70 years. But that cannot happen. It shall not happen. There's no such thing as the Palestinians. They deserve no land carved out of Israel. If they want to come in and become citizens of the nation of Israel, assimilate with them, and stop the shooting of the rockets and trying to murder, stop carrying out the jihadist movement. But it's my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that we as the United States ought to cease and desist giving one dime to the so-called Palestinians in their attempt to destroy the nation of Israel. It is their attempt to negotiate to get us to fund them so that they can continue to fund the jihadists so that it can then be more force and pressure on the present president and future presidents to try to force them to surrender the nation of Israel and to divide Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, primarily the Palestinians today are primarily the descendants of Ishmael, and that is the first son, the illegitimate son of Abraham. It is not the son of promise, and God promised Isaac and his lineage, his heritage, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and the place of Jerusalem, and no others. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in today. I pray that this has been intriguing, challenging, inspirational, and informative to you about dividing the land. Join us next time as once again we face the issue.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.